The opinions expressed on this show do not represent those of the U.S. the U.S. and the UC Regents, or here, University of California, Irvine. The thoughts and opinions expressed are my own, but they're not only my own. They are mine and my guest today, who has probably my favorite radio voice so far. He's an inspirational speaker. He's a rapper. He's an overall good dude. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Ginger MC, I'd like to introduce Bubba B, the MC. Bubba, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome. Thank you. And I appreciate that. That was very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have...
Even though it's early in the morning and I don't sound too good right now, but I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Yeah. How cold is it where you are?
Do you want me to lie to you or tell the truth?
Tell me the truth. Just give it to me, man.
Well, no. Some people say that they want the truth, but they can't handle the truth.
Well, wait. This is you can decide, because this is coming from a guy who's a ginger, so I'm pretty fair-weathered when it comes to coldness. And I'm bundled up and walking to the studio today. I felt it was cold. So my buddy who DJs just before me, you know, he looks at me all bundled up, and he's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "It's," and I use an explicative, and I said, "It's freaking freezing." And he looked at me, and he just said, "It's just different." And I thought about it, and I was like, "You're right. It's just different." So, where in the world are you? You're pretty much, if I were to throw a dart in the middle of Canada, that's where you are, right? Are you there? Did I lose you? Did I laugh you off the line? Bubba B, are you there? All right. Well, it looks as though I laughed Bubba B, the MC, off of the line. So either he's going to connect back here in a second or not. You know what? I think we froze the phone line. That's exactly what happened. Well, let me tell you a funny story about Bubba B, and hopefully he'll connect back here in a minute. So I do a lot of speaking, and one of my greatest challenges is just challenging myself when it comes to the whole speaking side of things. So, you know, what's more challenging than public speaking? It's rapping. So basically, I decided to try to take a lot of my presentations and turn them into raps. And so I put a call out on Twitter for a rapper and or for somebody to help me to produce one of my raps that I put together. And I got introduced to Bubba B, the MC, who I'm calling on the cell phone right now, by the way. And hey, Bubba, you got disconnected, bud.
I know.
No, we didn't. How about you call back in on the line? Because for some reason, what we did is it was so cold where you are, the phone line froze. That's what I was saying. No, is that what you were saying? Because that's what I was saying. You see, DJs, they hey, but only I can hear you right now. So go ahead and call back. I'm going to drop your call on this one and just call back on the other one. I'm starting to tell people how we met. All right. See you, buddy. So I put a call out on Twitter, and this is another example for people who are like, what is Twitter and why would you use it? Well, if you're an aspiring rapper and you need some help in the Twitter sphere and you want somebody to basically try to help you out, I literally put a tweet out. I said, hey, I'm looking to start rapping, and I need somebody who actually knows either how to rap or how to produce some music, and I just put a call out. So that tweet went into the universe, and hey, Bubba, you there? Bubba?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. So I was just telling people how we met on Twitter, the fact that I am an aspiring rapper. I guess technically I am a rapper. I'm just not that good. That's the aspiring part. So I basically put a call out, say, I need somebody to help me produce this. And somebody saw it and put it in front of you. And then you and I connected on Twitter. We moved it to email. And then email moved to phone. And then phone moved to like, dude, I've got to get you, your voice, and your energy onto the radio show. And here we are.
Here we are. Now we're dating.
Yes.
See, and so social media brought us together.
Yep.
And I got to apologize to everybody. I come from this place called Canada, way up north in the cold tundra. Anyways, It is, just to answer your previous question, I don't know if you heard me, but rumor has it that you and I were mind sync there for a moment.
Yeah.
Because as I guess we were having phone difficulties, I was saying that it is so cold that the phones get cut off every now and then. That's how cold it is where I am.
Yeah, so I think back to the original question when I asked how cold it was and you asked me whether I wanted the truth or the lies. I don't think I can handle the truth because the truth froze the phone line. So let's just lie and we'll pretend like it's not too bad.
Well, you know, honestly, and this is the good part, but yet the scary part.
Okay.
Is that right now, as we speak, it is a nice balmy minus 22 degrees Celsius.
No.
Yeah,
wow.
with wind chill, because you guys don't even know about wind chill. Wind chill is when the wind comes down, mixes with the level of humidity in the air, and then makes it feel like it's minus 27.
Wow, okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's I don't see the thing here in California, our thermometers don't even go that low. Hey, so aside from putting yourself in physical harm on a daily basis by being in the middle of nowhere in the tundra, let's learn a little bit more about Bubba B. Tell us about yourself. You've got a fun history. I love what you're doing with kids and the fact that you're, an inspiring voice and helping people find their art and communicate what they're doing. But take us back. Where did Bubba B start to become Bubba B the MC? Or just where did you become the Bubba B?
I became Bubba MC. Actually, when I was living down kind of by where you are right now.
Okay.
For a portion of my life, I was living in the Los Angeles Burbank area there. First lived right on Olympic Boulevard there by La Brea and Crenshaw, that whole area. And then my aunt thought that I was getting too caught up with the quote-unquote gangsters. I just looked at them as other people like me that, you know, like to hang out and play basketball. But, you know,
maybe those gangsters happen to, like, you know, shoot people and steal stuff, those kind of gangsters? Or just like...
Well, I guess so. I guess so. Looking back, hindsight is always 20/20. But when you're a young man... hanging out with your homies, you're just hanging out with your friends. Yeah, there's little bad kids that do, you know, the jaywalk, and there's little kids that used to steal your little dinky toys, and there's other kids that used to steal stuff from their parents' purses and stuff, no matter where you live. So, you know, it's just that there were some kids that had a little bit more aggressive attitudes and a little bit more aggressive opinions and a little bit more violent tendencies. And so she wanted me to completely flip over to the other side. So then we moved to Burbank. I lived right up Lake Street there in Alameda. And that's where I kind of became Bubba the MC. Not the MC, but just Bubba MC. And it's because I had always listened to, like, hip-hop music. And this is, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s. So I had listened to hip-hop music. And I was going through, my parents had just divorced, hence the reason why I got dumped down in the United States anyway. And honestly, if you know the story of the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, like, you know, that whole kind of how, you know,
well,
the intro,
let me tell you a story about it, I know the rap.
Well, yeah, but you know, like the story, like how he got kind of dumped off with his auntie and uncle and you're moving with your auntie and uncle LA. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was you.
Like, that's exactly straight up what happened with me before the show even came on. So I was down there and just hanging out. And one of the ways I had learned earlier, prior to actually coming down there, to kind of, how can I say this, curtail my pseudo-violent tendencies or my aggressive tendencies because of the fact I was going through, you know, my parents were separating and there was a lot of dysfunction in my home life. One of the lessons that my older brother had kind of had imparted upon me was, hey man, you know, instead of acting out in school and instead of saying what's on your mind, like right up to people's faces and offending them, why don't you write it out? And so that's what I started doing. At first, I was hesitant and resistant, of course. And I was like, man, that's lame. That's stupid. Whatever. But he's like, nah, man, just put it on paper, write it out, and then come back an hour later or come back the next day and read it. And then you'll see where your head was at, and you'll see kind of what was going on in your head that moment. And if you still feel the same way, then fine. Do whatever you're going to do. But chances are you're going to feel different. And so when I was down in California and I was, you know, isolated, I was alone. I had no friends. I'd completely been removed from all my friends and family and stuff north of the border here in Canada. And nobody really even knew I was down there. It was just like, it was like such a random, oh, you're going to go for the weekend to visit your auntie and uncle. Next thing you know, you're living down there. So I was very, very isolated. It was a very, very low time in my life. And so I started writing. And eventually what would happen is I would take those words that were on those papers and I'd start memorizing them because I'd start reading them over and over. And a couple times I was at school and there was other kids that were, you know, be beatboxing or they'd be listening to like Salt-N-Pepa or whatever on, you know, instrumentals or whatever. And they kept encouraging me. They're like, hey, man, why don't you like, because they always used to hear me just kind of sitting by my locker and I'd just be like, you know, reciting my words or whatever, whatever. And they were like, hey, man, why don't you put it to the beat? And so I would start putting it to the beat and it just started flowing and started going very, very well. Fast forward a few years, came back to Canada. I entered a couple freestyle battle or, you know, like rap battle contests. And there was this one guy, his name was King Zeus. And he's been like the undefeated champion for like 5 years. Nobody had ever beat this guy. And, you know, this dude was huge. Like, I was a big dude. I'm a big guy. Like, if you ever see me, I'm 6'4". You know, I'm a big, solid guy. But this guy, when I was a kid, this guy was, like, huge. His fist was, like, the size of my head. I just remember that. And he used to fight a lot. He's very aggressive. But one of the key things is when I went up against this guy, I went in there without really caring. Like, I was just, like, doing it because, you know, my buddies kind of nudged me on and, you know, I kind of wanted to do it on my own, but, you know, they kind of like, you know, hey, man, why don't you do it? Go up against this guy. And so, I battled my way through, and I ended up in the final round up against this guy.
Wow.
And when he started spitting his verse towards me and the whole crowd, like literally everybody in the entire room was for this guy, like loving this guy. Even my friends were like cheering for him when he spit his first verse.
Right.
And then... And I was like, okay, cool. So it was like a lesson right there of like, oh, even your own friends will turn on you. And when you're on the mic and you're on the stage, it's just you and the microphone. So it was a big early lesson. So I spit my first verse and, you know, a couple people were like shocked. They were like, oh, okay. So I got a little bit of claps and a little bit of cheers and stuff. But this guy thought he was going to eat me for lunch. So he came back with his second verse and it started to become a little bit more aggressive. And he started getting sloppy with his delivery. And he started started incorporating, like, cuss words and stuff. And at that moment, I realized that in the back of my mind, I was like, I got this guy. Unbeknownst to him is that one of the ways that my parents, my mother and my father, bless their heart, I love them so much, they used to discipline me as a child, is they would give me a cutail, you know, spanking, whatever. And then they would make me... depending on how bad I was, I'd have to go read 1 to 3 pages out of the dictionary. And I'd have to write out the words on the page. And then they would give me a spelling exam, like a pop quiz. They would just pick one of the words that they had given me to write out or read. And they would say, okay, how do you spell it? What does it mean? And so subsequently, I learned a lot of words from the dictionary and from just Encyclopedia Britannica and stuff. And so when he started cussing and swearing and all this kind of stuff during his second follow-up verse, I realized, I'm like, oh, this dude's very limited with his, you know, vocab. And so then I just started spitting knowledge on him. And then by the end of my second verse, people were like, what? And then by the third verse, his third attempt at me, he was, like, furious because no other MC had ever gone this far, right? Like, usually he destroyed them by, like, you know, second verse.
Right, yeah. And usually everyone's crushed at that point.
Exactly. So, you know, he went to the third verse, and by then it was evident that I had him. He started, you know, getting nervous. And, you know, he started reciting the same kind of stuff he spit earlier. And I just killed him. I just killed it. Like, third verse, I just killed it. The entire crowd changed on him. He got mad. He stomped off the stage, threw his mic down. He stormed out the door, kicked the door, smashed the glass, like, all this kind of stuff. And he stormed out of the room. And then everybody was like, you know, that at that moment, that's when everybody called me the MC. Not a, not an, not another, not amongst, the. And that's when I became Bubba B, the MC. And it was
story.
Great. I won this award, and, you know, it was just, that was like the day for me that I elevated from just being a regular rapper, in my opinion, and in the opinion of my peers, to being someone that was like, wow, like, I'm not in any other group. I'm not in any other category. He's the, right?
Wow.
So that's the story of how I became Bubba B, the MC.
That's rad. And I love the fact that you used your punishment from earlier years of reading pages in the dictionary that gave you the vocabulary to crush this guy who is physically, literally bigger than you, and you're big. And it was just you, the mic, and you became the MC. I think that's pretty sweet, dude.
You know, and it's the proverbial, you know, using a negative and turning it into a positive. And now looking back, you know, because back then you're in your young man brain, right? So you're not really aware. But now that I'm in my little bit grown man brain, and I look back and I'm like, holy smokes, all those lessons, they, you know, that your parents impart on you, they may seem like nothing at the time, and they may seem like they're, you know, just like bothersome or whatever, you know, oh, shut up, mom. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, shut up, dad. You don't know what you're talking about. But now looking back, you're like, holy smokes. If they didn't do that, if they, you know, I would have been whatever, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And not to say that I'm, you know, the top of the world or I'm, you know, whoever, just me, and I'm being the best that I can be. In addition, I'm using, that was one of the catalysts towards a shift in my mentality, a shift in my understanding, because it was from those events that I started to shift and realize that, oh, it is possible to turn negative experiences, the abuse, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, the emotional abuse, all the things I went through, the divorce, the separation, the isolation, the, you know, all that stuff, the abandonment, all the different things, and start to use that as wind to push me, to move me, as thrust, as fuel, to move me forward, as opposed to being obstacles, as opposed to being walls and boundaries preventing me from moving forward.
This is some tweetable stuff here, buddy. So if anybody's listening and you're not on Twitter, you need to check out Bubba B the MC, just all spelt out. So I'm just quoting here, buddy, something like... Some live tweet here. It is possible to take life's negative things and use them as wind to push forward, to move forward. That's solid, dude. If I was in a rap battle, I think my knees would be clacking. But since I know you, I would not be intimidated to pull my dictionary of Ginger MC out and attack in a nice non-violent way, and we'd go down with that. But this is inspiring stuff. How have you sort of taken the transition from, really, I mean, because 10, 15 years ago, there was no social media, at least that people were really leveraging. And, you know, taking that transition to, like, offline to online. I mean, you have this sort of crazy move that everybody is making. And on this show, we love to dig into, you know, strategies behind the scenes, social media and whatnot. What is your just overall opinion on social media? And are you using that in your music career? Are you using it to sort of outreach and spread your message? What's just kind of a somewhat riff on social media if you were to wrap it out? Well, you don't have to wrap it, but you know what I'm saying.
Understood. To be honest with you, you're absolutely right. So in my heart, I'm an old school cat, right? I am bricks and mortar. I am face-to-face. Like, my Facebook is you and me sitting down, hanging out at the mall, or at, you know, Tim Hortons, or as you guys call it, Starbucks or whatever.
Wait a minute. I like that. My Facebook page is you and me hanging out in person. I think that's brilliant. I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that for me, for me personally, there's no better way to vibe and to connect with energies and vibrations and actually tonalities and smells and scents and everything than sitting down with a person face-to-face or in their space, or you are in my space, quote-unquote. I'm air-quoting right now, as you know. My space, personally, that's me. However, when I was in Florida back in the early 2000s there, and I was hanging out with, you know, Michael from the Taxi organization. They're like this organization that helps musicians and artists and stuff like that gain publishing and all this kind of stuff. I was hanging out with him, and he was telling me about, you know, like these new social media platforms that would allow us as musicians and artists and stuff to be able to reach out beyond our borders. And at that time, I was thinking, okay, our borders, like, you know, like country borders. But, you know, as it's grown on, I realized that, holy smokes, like right now, there's probably people in Africa, there's people in the Middle East, there's probably people in South America, there's people in Southeast Asia, Indonesia. We probably have people listening in Australia right now, listening to Ryan Ginger MC.
Good eye, mate.
B, kicking it right now, you know? And that is what I realized. I'm like, holy smokes, when he's saying borders, it wasn't just about your neighborhood border or your street border or your country border. We're talking global right now. And so, like, SoundClick and MySpace, I was an early adopter of those things. And I just, me personally, like I said, it felt like it was always a distraction, because the time it took me to be sitting there typing out some stuff on a keyboard that somebody may or may not read or listen to or whatever, I could be out, you know, at a party or walking up and down the street or go into a hookah lounge or go sit down with somebody, and, you know, and just talk to the people around me and get a sense of what's going on in their lives and be able to hopefully share what's going on in my life as well.
Well, I think there's a really important you know, topic for people to understand, that there are two sides to the story. It's not just all about being online. And I'm a big fan. I really think that unless you have the ability to communicate offline, it's going to be very difficult to communicate well online. Like, if you can't sit in a conversation with someone at the mall or over dinner, how are you going to carry on a Facebook dialogue, right? It's just, it's not going to work. So for everybody out there who is of the sentiment that, yes, you'd almost rather be walking around or hanging out with people or at a hookah lounge or networking or face-to-face, there is still value in that, right? If Bubba B the MC can do it, so can you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. And I actually, as life has been evolving, and then now, you know, in the last 10 years, think about how the world has shifted since June 2007, okay? So June 2007, a huge thing happened. That was the introduction of the iPhone. And that moment, cellular technology went from being a communicational device to an entertainment device, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never thought of it like that. Like, I've always thought of it as... Sure. As, you know, the revolution of technology, it just got that much smarter. But, yeah, at that moment, telephones went from just communication to entertainment. And that is a very distinctive transition in the world. The whole earth shifted at that moment.
Exactly. And so from that moment on came the flood. So then the YouTube started and the Facebooks and the Match.coms and all these Tinder, all these new websites, all these new apps, all that stuff became visual, became entertainment. It became video games. It became entertain this child instead of spending time with this child. Here, put this in front of that kid so he'll shut up and leave us alone so we can check out our Match.com profiles, or so that, you know, I can update my Instagram pages. That's what kind of the cell phone kind of became in the last decade. And that also was around the same time that I started to shift. I had, prior to that period of time, I was more of a, you know, live stage, in the nightclubs, on-air, radio, DJ, performance, you know, for adults, teens, you know, grown-up people, grown and sexy people, as I call them. You know, and that was my main forte. My main demographic was female, 17 to 38. You know what I'm saying? Like that was my piece of the pie.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that was my lane, and you know, the boys would come along as well because you know they knew I was controlling that lane very well, and all my music and all my, you know, my shows and stuff were geared towards those ladies and that demographic. So around that same time, 2007-2008, is when I started to realize, I'm like, hold on a minute. I was working on radio, and I'd be getting phone calls from mothers who, you know, moms used to love my show. They used to tune in, and, you know, because I spoke to them, and I understand. I mean, I was raised by women. I was raised around women, so I understand a lot of how the mentality of these beautiful women, how they think and what they want. And so these women would call in. And one particular phone call kind of shifted my entire mentality. This mother called in, and she had been listening to her favorite artist at the time, which was like 50 Cent or something like that. And her son, who was just turning 5 years old, he wanted to request his favorite song for his birthday. And I thought it was going to be like 50 Cent, you know, in the club. Like, you know, it starts off, hey, shorty, it's your birthday. You know, whatever, whatever. I thought that that's what he was going to want to listen to.
Sure.
And unfortunately, this five-year-old kid gets on the phone, and he asks me to play a song that graphically dictates and emphasizes death and, you know, N-word's going to die tonight, and I'm going to go on a killing spree and all this kind of stuff. And that's his song. And I was like, what? No, you're not. No, I'm definitely not going to play that song for you. Put your mom back on the phone.
Right.
And his mom got back on the phone, and she explained to me that she would be listening to that song in her own bedroom, dancing around and thinking that her son is over there on his iPad or on his iPhone or whatever, in another room, not paying attention to what she was listening to and what she was doing. And I had to explain to him, I'm like, no, if he's in another room and you're in another room dancing and shouting and having the best time of your life, he's paying attention to what you're doing because he wants to be like you. He loves you. You're his mom. And that's when I realized that, okay, this social media thing, because, you know, you got to think, Ryan, think about this. There was no owner's manual, no learning curve when this stuff hit, right? It just basically hit. And everybody was just like, I'm on it now. And they just were so enamored and just so enthralled by it. And they completely started to neglect the family unit and their children and their offspring and them and their spouses and themselves and everything. Just think about that. There's people walking off train platforms and getting hit by trains and buses and cars because they're glued to their entertainment mobile device. Like, literally, yeah. Like, I'm not just making that up. That's
no, it's
actually
crazy.
Really happening. And so at that same time, around 2007-2008, is when I started to shift in my own mind. I started to realize, I'm like, oh my goodness, these phones, this platform, these entertainment devices are taking away, they're actually tearing at the actual fiber of the family unit, of us as human beings, as us as being just kind to each other. It was like almost like the death knell of kindness, because now, 10 years later, we have Twitter. We have people that have, quote-unquote, Twitter wars, where the most inflammatory, most derogatory things I've ever heard another human being say about another human being is being said on these platforms, typed out by boys, girls, young and old, the President of the United States, you know?
Yeah.
And for the world to see. And it's and if you notice, a lot of these comments are going like 0 to 100, like quick, like like you could say one thing, and like within two lines or two exchanges back and forth, they're already calling the person a and a you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I use social media. For me, I use social media to connect with my fans. I use my platforms. I use Twitter. I have Facebook. I have Instagram. I've just recently been a Snapchatter. And, you know, I use them to post out, you know, ideas. I let them know about shows, upcoming shows, or, you know, links to go get my album, which is available on iTunes and Spotify and, of course, on Amazon. If you order it right now, you can get it in time for Christmas for all your kids who are between the ages of, like, 4 and 5 up to grade 4, 5, 6, anywhere in there, that spectrum, they will glean positive, educational, and fun information, knowledge, and musical attributes that they will want to internalize within themselves and help them carry on in their lives. You can get that for them right now, parents. I know you guys are listening. Get it for your kids right now. It's called School's in Session. Wish My Teacher Was Bubba B. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. Just get it, and you'll have it in time for Christmas if you order it today. Boom.
And whether it's whether you're listening to this today or tomorrow or however long, let's talk about this, because this sounds like something that's not only good for Christmas, but it's good for, let's say, January and February and March, April, May, June, July. Like, this idea, and I just want you to clarify, this is a Bubba B the MC album, School is Back in Session, and it's catered towards younger children to reinforce positive vibes through music, through raps. Is that correct?
That is correct. However, I will extrapolate on that a little bit, because unfortunately, when people hear children's music, they automatically think Barney. Right?
You love me. Yeah. I love you. I'm going to stick my finger in my eye and drive me crazy. Right?
A lot of parents are just like, I don't want to.
Let it go. Let it go. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's not okay. So let's clarify this. How do you describe it? And is it one like a Disney movie that's hilarious for the adults and entertaining at the same time and educational for the kids, even though they don't know that it is? Or talk to me about it.
That's almost exactly what it is. It is designed for the parents who have to drive their kids to hockey or soccer or football or basketball practice or ballet practice, and they're in the car with their kids for half an hour to an hour. And instead of putting on the radio where you don't know what's going to come up next, what song's going to come up next, who's going to be talking about my milkshakes, bringing all the boys to the yard or whatever, you can put this CD in, and not only will you as the parent enjoy it, you will start to realize within yourself that you've disconnected from your inner child. The underlying emphasis of this entire album was to connect the adults with their inner child, because I realized that a lot of these parents have they've completely forgot that at one point in time they were kids, and they've completely forgot that kid is still within them. That child is still there. Just doesn't pack a bag at age 16 and like, I'm out of here, effort. I'm out. And just pack a bag and walk out the door. The 16-year-old doesn't just leave. The 16-year-old is there, or the 12-year-old, or the 8-year-old, or the 6-year-old is still there. They just have a bigger booty now, or they have longer hair or less hair, or they have, you know, a little bit more facial hair, or they drive a car and have a little bit more debt load ratio, you know? But it's so important to remember that you are golden. You are a child. You are this beautiful, learning, growing creature that is so innocent and delicate and gentle, and that doesn't stop. That doesn't stop when you turn 16. That doesn't stop when you turn 20. That doesn't stop when you turn 30. You still are that gentle, warm, caring, loving little creature. And so just because the world is cold and the world is jaded and the world, like I said, the world's cold, like where I live right now, the world is cold.
Freezing.
However, you can still be warm. You can still be heated. You can still be affectionate. You can still be gentle. You can still be kind to one another. And that brings it back to what I was talking about with the social media aspect. is that there's this new wave of just people being unkind to each other and forgetting that we're all little kids and that we do have feelings and that we do get hurt and we do get sad and we do have low days, low vibrational days. And this album, you're absolutely right, it's not just for Christmas. It's a great stocking stuffer, but this is something that you can listen to with your kid or even by yourself. The craziest thing about this album is that one day I was in a restaurant and I'm sitting there eating my lunch, and this grown man, he was in his probably mid-60s, comes up to me, and he's like, "You're that Bubba B guy, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, pulls up a chair and he sits down at my table and goes, "I don't know what the you did to this music, but my wife got one of your albums and she keeps playing this one song over and over again. And every time she plays it, she starts crying." And I was like, "What? Like, how old is your wife?" "She's 68 years old." And I'm like, 68 years old. And he's telling me the story that one of the songs on my album is called "Hey, Look at Me," and it's a bullying and it's a survivor song. It's a survivor song for people that have been bullied, the people that have been hurt, the people that have been marginalized, isolated, all that kind of stuff. And she apparently would listen to this song on repeat. This is a grandmother who only up until this point in time apparently only listened to like. Orchestral, like Norwegian orchestral music. Like that's all she ever listened to, and she hated rap. She never understood it, whatever. So she hated it, and apparently, she got it. Somebody had given it to her like in a gift basket or something like that. She got it, like she won a prize, and it was included in the gift basket.
Right.
So she popped it in and listened to it, and she listened all the way through. And then this one song, she just couldn't get past it. And it's the song. She'd pull over on the side of the road as she was driving and cry. That's what this man is telling me.
Wow.
And he's like, this woman was so impacted by this song because it reminded her of her brother when they were kids and how they used to have fun and all this kind of stuff. And now they're so isolated and they're alienated from each other. And she just would cry. She would just become overwhelmed and cry. And this is a grandmother, an Icelandic Caucasian from 1,300 years of pure Icelandic blood woman who, you know, completely out of my demographic. And she was able to grasp the concept and to be able to learn from it and to feel something from it. So at that moment, I realized, holy smokes, this album isn't just for young parents and young kids. It's for everybody. Everybody can listen to it and find something that they can attach to or that they can connect with.
You know,
the
whole, that's so amazing. I mean, so much respect to that. And I think you're taking this amazing genre of just rap, which is an amazing art form, but it is somewhat stigmatized by gangster rap or things that maybe people don't really sort of feel connected with. And you've taken this music foundation, which, you know, regardless of who you are, it's hard to not listen to some great beats and just all of a sudden start moving. Like, there's something magical about the beats behind some of this sort of rap music. And you've taken it into a spin from somebody who's 5 to 75, and you're really connecting with some of these issues. Like, the whole bullying thing. And, you know, I think this is another reason why we're kindred souls here, is it's such an important and real issue that continues to be a problem, even more so now, with the fact that people can hide behind social media accounts, kids are texting, they're punching each other through their phones. I mean, it's a real issue that doesn't just go away. And at the root of it, this whole idea of when the world shifted in 2007, like, things are different. People are mean to each other. It's not the nicest world that we live in, but we need that positivity and we need that kindness. And it's so much easier to be angry at someone. It's so much easier to be frustrated and to lash out, and it's so much harder to sort of be calm and patient and, you know, tolerant, but it's so much more important. I think communicating that through music is very, very cool. And this is where, like, I'm excited because for me, public speaking and communication is a huge part of how I dealt with bullying, right? I mean, I got into martial arts and I learned that I could communicate without saying anything. my body stance, the way my shoulders are, the way I'm looking or not looking at somebody. And so for me, communication is like this skeleton key. And I have this talk about this 313 method I have, travel all over the world with it, and it empowers people. But I'm like, how can I make it resonate more? Let's make a rap out of it, right?
Yep.
And I've got a public speaking rap that I'm working on right now. And I want to be able to, like, put it to music and have it be somewhat cheeky, somewhat fun, but actually resonate with people.
You're absolutely right, Ryan. And the great thing about rap, what a lot of people don't understand, is that rapping, you know, I'm going to simplify it right now, but rapping started back in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, when you, for example, would live in your neighborhood or your area of New York City, and you would meet, you know, you jump on your subway or whatever, and you'd come meet me, and I'd jump on my subway from wherever I am from, and we'd meet somewhere, and we would sit down and, quote-unquote, I'm air quoting again, rap. And that was a conversation. Ryan MC would be like, yo, we got forest fires, smoke and haze and smog coming from the, you know, from the fires burning up in the hills, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I got 6 feet of snow and polar bears starving. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would tell our stories. We would rap about what we saw happening from our neighborhoods, our perspectives, our blocks. And it just so happened that off in the distance, in the same area of the park bench that Ryan MC and Bubba B the MC are sitting on, is a DJ who is playing his music, minding his own business, doing his thing, just providing atmosphere for the kids that are playing basketball or soccer or kickball or whatever, you know, that's going on in the park. And it just kind of fused organically of the sharing of the story, sharing of the perspectives. And that's what it's about. That's what the fundamental basis of rap was and still remains to this day. Unfortunately, it has taken on different legs. It has taken on different branches. The gangster rap, the trap rap, right? The drugs, Percocet, man, Percocet, man, Xanax, baby, yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. The mumble rap, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, these are different people who have, you know, with their own little perspectives and stuff they've added, this drug paraphernalia or use or whatever you want to call it, aspect to the communication. But you can't hate on them because that's how they communicate. That's how they talk amongst their peers. That's how they're sharing their perspectives. That's what they're on. If you've been popping Molly pills all day long for the last 6 months of your life, you're obviously going to be thinking and or acting or speaking completely different than Ryan the Ginger MC and Bubba B the MC are right now.
Yeah.
So your flow, your verse, your perspective, everything's going to sound a little off. It's going to sound a little bit slurred, a little bit lower, a little bit whatever.
Right.
A little bit more mumbly, whatever. But that's still you attempting to communicate. So you can't hate on those people. All you can do is help educate those people. And with the bullying aspect, bullying starts at home. It starts with your mom. It starts with your dad. No matter what anybody else will ever tell you, they'll try and say, oh, no, it starts in school. Oh, no, it starts in the teachers. No, it starts at home. The first time that your son or your daughter ever sees you yell at your mom or yell at your, like, from the older brother, older sister yelling at their mom or picking on their sibling or a husband picking on his wife or a wife picking on her husband, whatever, in the car, you know, when you're sitting in the back seat and you're watching your dad drive and he's yelling at the guy in the car next to him who has a turban, or the person in line in front of them at the DMV, and, you know, they're of a different ethnicity or they're fat or they're, you know, whatever terminology that this person uses, derogatory term to reference another human being, that kid is watching that. And as I said earlier, all kids want to do is be like their moms and their dad. That's it. Or their older big sibling. That's it. When you're like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's all you want to do. Because they are the coolest. They get to go to bed after you go to bed. They get to wake up before you get to wake up. They get to get dressed on their own. They don't have to ask their mom to change the diaper. They just get up, put on their new underwear, and they're out the door. They're outside playing in the field. You still got to stay inside and look out the window. they are the coolest. You see them as your godsend. And so whatever that you are wearing on your sleeve and wearing on your back and wearing out your mouth is what your kids are going to pick up. So if your kid sees you calling people who are brown skin or light skin or Hispanic or whatever derogatory terms, you best believe, whether it's that day, the next day, or a month later, they're going to go to school, or they're going to go to the community center, or they're going to go to the park or the church or whatever, and they're going to call, hey, look at that spick over there, or hey, look at that wop over there, or hey, look at those da-da-da-da-da people over there. And that's where it's going to begin. And a lot of parents are completely clueless to that, but that's the truth. And I'm not airing anybody's business out. I'm just telling you the truth. And you can be angry at Bubba B, the MC. You can hang up right now. You can disconnect from this podcast. You can do whatever you want. But sooner or later, you're going to be like, damn, I hate that guy, but he was right. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. Because there's nobody else that has as much influence over your children than you. That's it. And that's the truth. Until, you know, kids go to junior high, then they start being influenced by their friends because then they start rebelling against their parents. But for those first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it's all on you. That's, you know, 2,000, that's like what, about 3,680 days of that child's life, give or take a day or two, is you. So I tell all the young people now that are going out there and starting relationships and starting marriages and stuff like that, I'm like, listen, if you want to have a kid, fine. Do whatever you want to do. However, unless you got it in you to be committed to live a good life and to be a good role model and to set a good example, a great example for the next 3,680 days, every day, not just when you feel like it, not just on Mondays and every other Thursday, and not just, you know, Saturday mornings when you're watching cartoons, but the other 5, 6 days of the week, you're a real a-hole to them or to the people around you. Unless you are committed to making a lifestyle change and being a good role model and a good example to your kids for the next 3,600 days straight, then don't have any kids. And until you're ready to do that, don't have any kids. Because it takes commitment, it takes passion, and it takes humbleness, it takes patience, and it takes love for yourself to be able to love yourself enough to love your kid right. Right?
Dude. That's it. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Like, I wish I was able to mix in some beats to the back of that, because that was just like truth bomb after truth bomb. And I actually put together a Twitter poll. So on Twitter, for people if you don't know, you have a chance to actually get people's opinion specifically. Like, they can actually say answer 1, 2, 3, or 4. And so it really started with your first phrase. You said bullying starts at home. So I did bullying starts at home, and I know you're doing air quotes, but I did real quotes on this tweet, and I credited you, Bubba B, the MC, and I put 4 answers. Totally agree, agree, nah, do not agree. And then as you were talking, I'm like, I had to get some of that stuff in there. So the tweet says, bullying starts at home, you know, little hyphen, Bubba B, the MC. When kids see slash hear parents bullying each other at home or in the car talking about other people, or seeing siblings fight, etc. No one has more influence over your child than you. The first years are on you as a parent to set the tone. And now they'll agree, totally agree, nah, or disagree. Bam, that's out there in the Twitterverse now.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what you're doing is so important, because it's – and you're also really breaking the mold. Like, I'm looking at your cover now, and it's like you – not with a gold chain, but a silver chain that says Bubba B the MC, and you have all these kids. It kind of looks a little retro and like your classic sort of school picture, but you're definitely breaking the mold of someone who's, you know, in the rap scene, but rapping about a positive message, challenging parents to make sure that they're taking responsibility for themselves. Looking at names like Do Your Work, that looks like a great one.
Do your work and stay focused. You can play all you want when the job's done. Do your work and stay focused. You can play all you want when the job's done.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, so I'm excited to stay connected with you, and then I don't know, we got to figure out how to produce some of my stuff. You want to hear? We got maybe a couple minutes left. Let me spit at you the first couple lines of my public speaking rap, just to be total cheeseballs here and see how it goes. So you can throw down maybe a little bit of a backbeat with it. I don't know, but it's da na 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 na. It's kind of like that, right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first ever aired for the possible public speaking rap. I need a better name than that, though. I'm going to give it to you. All right. So here we go.
The PSR, public speaking rap, the PSR. You know, you've heard of PSAs.
Yeah, oh my God.
This is a public service announcement. No, this is a public service rap. Rap. Boom, boom.
I have got a question and I've got the answer too, but the question is what happens when I pose it onto you. Are you a public speaker? Is that something that you do? Regardless what you think, get ready for some news. If you speak in public, then you are a public speaker. It's a scientific fact that you cannot argue either. Talking to your mom or talking to your dad or chatting with your friends or even with your cat. Don't be scared. Don't run away. You've been speaking since you could every single day. The more that you know, the better that you'll get. And getting what you want always starts with what you said. Think about communication as a type of art. Your voice is the paint. All you gotta do is start. Bam! PSR.
That's it. All you gotta do is start. That's pretty dope, man.
That's
you know, I really look forward to having the opportunity to help in any way I can to help bring that PSR to reality and to life. I know that you're a big man. You do lots of TED Talks, and you inspire people all across the country. And you're a role model for gingers everywhere. Just ginger. Just the terminology ginger alone. And do you remember, like, a few years ago, I don't know if it was South Park, one of those shows that started said that gingers have no soul. And all those kind of things. Like, that's horrible.
It is horrible.
That is so horrible, man. And I feel bad for you guys because it's like you're like us, meaning people of color, where you're just born that way. That's how your chromosome came out.
Yeah, I just have more of an orange color with spots.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you were in the womb and said, okay, hey, big man. Hey, G.O.D., I just want to be a little different. So if you could make me orange with spots, that'd be great. You know what I'm saying? I'm going for the whole cheetah look.
Yeah, maybe make my skin really sensitive to the sun so that I have to invest in thousands of dollars of white paste to put all over my face.
Exactly. That's crazy. And that's another thing, too, because you live in California, which is like a desert, and it's like sun, and it's like hot, which are like all the things that gingers don't like.
Yeah. You know what? You've just inspired me to make a ginger rap. And it's going to be basically clarifying that we do have souls. So, Bubba, we are out of time, but I'm pretty sure we're going to continue to talk for hours and hours. And I love the fact that you helped me to come up with the fact that I've now created the PSR, not a PSA. This is a PSR, the public speaking rap. And all you got to do is start. Hey, man, you know, super appreciative for the time, and I hope that you don't freeze to death over there because the world needs you. They need your voice. And everybody, go check out Bubba B the MC. All I did was Google Bubba B the MC, schools in session. There you go. You'll find it. Get it for somebody, whether it's for the holidays or just to sort of put it in a gift basket for someone else to spread the good word. All right.
Boom. I appreciate you so much for your time, and I appreciate everybody listening, tuning in. And if you get a chance, man, make sure you play one of my songs for the people so they can get an idea. Just give them a little clip of it. And either way, I look forward to hanging out with you and talking to you further, and keep up the good work as well, and keep up your public speaking. And please continue to inspire all the little boys and girls who happen to be of ginger heritage around the world. Please do it, and never give up, okay? Keep moving.
All right, buddy.
Go
I will.
ECD. Above yes, and beyond
sir.
The call of duty.
Peace. All right. See you, Bubba. Excellent. All right, everybody. You heard it here. That was Bubba B, the MC. This is Ginger MC. These MCs are signing out. Have a great day.
She tickles my beard and cries, Santa, don't you leave me alone.